All right, let's see if we can get ready to go. We have a few things to talk about this morning, several things actually, and I feel pretty good about that. But since we are in a church office, I thought it might be really good to get started with a prayer. So I'm going to do that real quick. I'll set this down so I don't move the slides while I'm praying, because that could certainly happen. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you for a new morning, a new day. We get to get up today and do things to help move the kingdom forward, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all the things that you continue to do for us, whether we're paying attention to it or not, and that we want to thank you in advance for the things that you still are doing for us and the things you have yet to do. Lord, you know where the next jobs are for every person in this room. You know where my next clients are, more so than anyone else would know. And Lord, we just want to trust in you throughout this time as we now get to learn how to have faith when we're definitely in a position of what might be perceived as weakness, but really we know that that's when you are strongest, Lord. That's when we can lean upon you. So we thank you for putting us there and everything that you're going to teach us during this time. And Lord, I just pray that the words that come out of my mouth this morning are not necessarily mine, but what you want everyone in this room to hear. And so Lord, we lift this prayer up to you in your son's name, Christ Jesus, amen. All right, I think we can get started now. So I am PJ Dunn. I am a professional development coach, also a personal development coach. The Lord has put it on my heart to want to help enrich people's lives. Doesn't matter where they're at, job, no job, father, son, mother, daughter. It's just he's put me in that place where that's what I want to do is enrich people. What it's turned out to be is helping out a lot of business people. And now what it's turned out to be is helping people find jobs. So if you're sitting at home by now and you've been unemployed for a while, you probably know it's not fun just sitting there looking at a computer that doesn't seem to want to respond back to you when you send emails out. And people send it take forever to maybe respond back to an email that maybe you sent out about a job. Yep, that's not fun. That's kind of lonely. But in the process, what I've learned is that most of the jobs that are found, and it's well over 78% and it's well documented, are found because people get out and they network. So, hence, segue, not subtle segue, we're going to talk a bit about how you network for jobs and stay warm in this room while you're doing it. Okay? If I had control of that, I'd have it turned down or turned up a couple of notches so you guys wouldn't freeze. So let's get into it. We're going to have to define some terms. Oh, by the way, there are some sheets in front of you. You will need them. They're for you to take notes upon. Hopefully you brought a pen. And there should be some extra ones. If you do not have a sheet, let me know. I have extras up here. You'll notice on the back of that sheet is the exercise that we're going to do to put to the test everything that I said today and how well you comprehended. We'll be able to know through that exercise. So what I don't want to do is I don't want to be the guy sitting up here talking for 40 minutes because then I'll go to sleep too. I want it to be interactive. If you see something, if you have a question, if you have a challenge, if you're wondering, if you're curious, or raise up your hand, my name, or just say, PJ, I need to ask a question. And I'll pause and I'll answer that question and we'll make it fit because we're talking about a lot of different scenarios here. So I'm sure you have your own, and I want to hear that because that's how we're going to interact this morning, and that's going to make it to where you're going to get more out of this. So for sure, we're going to interact, and then we're going to do an exercise to make sure it's locked in on some level. All right, so there we go. So let's get into it. If you're a reader like me, you know who this gentleman is. This is Dale Carnegie. If you know, he's also written a book that everybody always quotes when we start talking about networking or dealing with people, and that's How to Win Friends and Influence People. Interestingly enough, this would have been good enough just to stop here. How to Win Friends, right? Who doesn't want to know that? But he took it a step further and influence people. That's interesting. This book was written in 1939, by the way. And we're still quoting it, talking about it today. If you have not read this book, go to Half Price Books, $8, $9. It will then tell you the code, if you will, for dealing with people. And he's got some great insight. Now, not to be outdone, and a little bit more recently, this gentleman you may not have heard of, this is Bob Berg, but you've heard of his famous statement. Bob Berg's famous statement was, people like to buy products or services or things from people who they know, like, and trust. Know, like, and trust. He said that way before Zig Ziglar. Zig Ziglar said people like to buy from people who they know and who they like. But Bob Berg said actually it's who they know, like, and trust. And then he wrote this book and it was called Endless Referrals, another good book that you may want to spend some time reading. And like Dale Carnegie, he believed that it had a lot to do with how people interacted and spoke with each other, but his idea is to be called the go-giver. If you're the person that's always giving out referrals, people also want to seek you because you're a resource. And if you're a resource, that means then you're in the middle of what's going on. You know what's happening. And if by that source of you being a resource, you get to hear all the different things that are going on. And therein lies possibly a job. So you want to be visible. That's the whole thing. And his idea was, instead of saying, go to a networking event and walk up to people who you don't know and just try to put as many cards as you can out there, his is like, no, actually, you're going to go there and see how you can help someone else. And in doing that, look what happens. A different way of looking at networking, right? So let's talk about this guy. You know, we're in church, and actually he had something to say. And he said in Matthew 4:19, you follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, what does this have to do with the other gentleman and kind of networking? Well, here's where it is. Jesus Christ had a network. His network were 12 men who he still knew but then still met who didn't know him. And that was how he was going to spread the gospel, through a network of these 12 men. You know, one of them fell off, but then these guys are going to be the ones who went out there and spread the gospel. When you're out there networking, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to build a network to which you've got people talking about you. And we're going to talk about that definition. Jesus Christ had a network. I don't like them trying to make it businessy, but in terms of how we connect and how we relate, he did have one, and he picked them, which is different for us. We don't get to pick them. Whoever we're in a room with is anybody that we can network with. But Jesus had a specific plan, as we all know. So think about that. So when I mention networking, is it like this to you? Right? Especially if, how many people in the room are introverted, by the way? You consider yourself an introvert. Yeah, how do you feel about networking? Lauren.
Well, I've kind of learned to overcome my introversion.
Okay.
But I still find it unnerving.
Okay. Unnerving is the way she'd describe it. How about you in the back as well?
Stressful.
Stressful. Yeah. Why is it stressful?
I'm just not one to put myself out there and just to go out and converse.
Yeah. Right. See that? And yet she's got to go out and she's got to network. They both do in order to meet folks. Now, see, us extroverts, I'm going to assume the rest of us are extroverts. See, we don't, maybe an ambivert. You're an ambivert.
Okay.
Ambi being ambidextrous, ambivert. So you're probably a little bit of both. Actually, I'm an ambivert. Most people think I'm an extrovert because I get up here and get in front of people and I'm very calm about it, but actually I'm an ambivert. A true extrovert needs other people in order to feel energized. I can go home and read a good book. Don't need people. I can read a book. I'm fine. And my introverted friends will go, yep, I get that. I'd rather go home and read a book too sometimes. Right here.
Is there such a person that is so extreme that they have to be around people all the time?
Yes. Yes. Usually it's when they first discover that people like them. And when they discover that people like them, you've seen people come out of their shell. Like first they were real quiet in school, they didn't know who they were, but then once they got class president or something and people voted for them, all of a sudden you couldn't get them to shut up because now they discovered this new thing about themselves and they were willing to practice it every day at your and my expense. So yes, you do have people who when they come out of their shell and realize that they are this, yeah, they can go the other direction. And we're going to talk about how you handle that in a networking situation. What if you're out networking for a job, you don't have, you know, a lot of time, but you happen to run into that extrovert who wants to talk. How do you slip out of that conversation gracefully? We're going to talk about that today. So here's the thought. A lot of people would say that they'd rather run or flee as if their life depended, does that sound right, Lauren, than go attend yet another networking event, right? So let's talk about this because we need to get our definitions on the same page. And this is actually your first set of blanks on your worksheet. Anybody want to guess what this first blank is? Effective face-to-face networking is the what?
Coming
together. That's good. That's good. Anyone? What is that first blank? What do you think?
Meeting.
Okay. Meeting. Not bad. Anybody else want to throw something out there? Gathering, okay, it's close. I do this because there's a word picture I want to lock in your brain right now about networking. Connecting is close. It's very close. Yeah, we're there. You guys are right there in the room with me. Here's the word picture I want you to see. What real effective face-to-face networking is this?
Sure.
It's the linking together. Linking, right? You're only as strong as the weakest link. When you get in connection with people, there's a link being formed, a relationship, a bond on some level. It's an early level. It's a rapport level. But it's the linking together of individuals who, through trust, that second level is trust, and relationship building, two words, relationship building, become walking, talking advertisements for one another, all together. Effective. Face-to-face networking is the linking. Hopefully that word picture stuck in your head. You're linking up to people now. You're not just meeting them, say, hey, give me something. I want to give you something. If you can give me something, it's, no. It's the linking together of individuals who, through trust and relationship building, become, and I might even say in parentheses, naturally, become naturally walking, talking advertisements for one another. You can also use the word billboard, become a walking, talking billboard for one another. Here's why, and here's what happens to me a million times. Before I was a professional development coach, I was a legal account executive for the Dallas Business Journal. When one attorney learned who I was, and if I treated him well, guess what you think he did whenever I went to an event? He would turn around to the other attorneys who I didn't know yet and go, y'all haven't met PJ Dunn yet? He's awesome. He's da-da-da-da-da-da. See, he's my walking, talking advertisement, my billboard for me. All I have to do is not mess it up. That's all I have to do. When you build this kind of rapport, when you link to people and you do it through trust and relationship building, what you'll find is when you show up, that person is proud to know you, proud to be with you, or just loves to know you, they'll do all the selling for you, right? But they have to know you first. There has to be some sort of trust, relationship building. If it's linked, then that will happen. And I can't tell you how many times I walked right into another law firm on the strength of another lawyer who worked at a competing law firm. But he loved what I did so much for his firm that he didn't care that I was going to help another firm get more marketing visibility and all of that, right? I can't tell you, that's the best thing that you want to happen. If I'm networking with you right now, what you would want, if I'm at a networking event with you and a hiring manager walked up, you would want me standing next to you if I know you, because guess what I would do? You haven't met Hewley yet? You haven't met Lauren yet? Oh my gosh, these are the greatest people in the world to work for. Let me tell you why they're great. People will listen to that, but they won't listen if you try to tell yourself, tell everybody else how great you are. Nobody, people go, okay, all right, put the Kool-Aid down, too much. But they'll listen to other people sing your praises. But how will they sing your praises? Well, if you link, you trust, you build relationship building, it becomes natural that they would want to do that for you. You think that's important in dating? Absolutely. If a girl's not sure about about this guy that's trying to talk to her, one of her girlfriends can say, no, I can vouch for it. He's a good dude. Right? That goes somewhere. If a friend of yours tells you where to go to buy the best TV set, right? You built a great relationship, and go talk to Matthew down there at Best Buy. Right? Matthew doesn't have to sell a TV now. All he has to do is wait for this person to show up, and they're going to buy already, because it's a walking, talking advertisement, a billboard. That's how marketing works. That's how sales works. So think about it. You are a product right now. Product meaning a skill set. And each company is looking for certain skill sets, right? So how does your brand present itself? Do you have other people out there willing to say these sort of things about you? If you do, then you're good. So that's that first blank right there. Let's take a look at this. What do you think the goal of networking is? Anybody raise your hand or just put it out there? We're friends. What do you think the goal of networking is? Okay. No, that's good. I mean, throw it out there. Anybody, this is okay. Okay. This is that second set of blanks that you're going to see. We're going to talk through this. Anybody else want to, what do you think the goal is? I'm helping you cheat here because here's some of it. What do you think?
Advocate.
Ooh, that's strong. Anybody else? The goal of networking. We know what it is because we just defined it, but what's the goal of it? And I think we've already touched upon it. Let's go there. So, it is to become known as a resource for others. It's not help me get a job, help, here's my business cards, call me if you know somebody that can hire me. Please, please, please help me, I'm desperate. Here's my card, please have somebody call me. No. The best networking you ever do is when people see you as a resource, because they'll keep coming back to you, and we'll talk about this some more. When you are known as a strong resource, because I'm really trying to hammer that in here today, that's the second blank, people remember to turn to you for suggestion, ideas, names of other people, which is important. This keeps you, the last blank, visible to them. So the goal of networking is not for you to go get, it's actually for you to go give. You never know who's in the room that needs a little bit of information or something that you might be able to give to them that day, right? So the idea here is while you're looking to get something, of course, really the mindset should be, who can I help with the resources that I have? Because again, we said that it was about building trust and relationships so they become natural walking, talking advertisements. Who doesn't want to help you when they saw that you were willing to reach out and help them? Who doesn't? What do we like? Do we like that story about the guy who jumped out of his car to push a little kid out of the way so he wouldn't get hit? We like that story. We don't like the story of the rich athlete that goes, I'm sorry, I am told by my lawyer that I need to apologize for hitting my wife. And we don't like that for 1 minute. Why? Because we sense there's something wrong with that. But we also sense there's something great about it when someone, we were looking for something, but somebody else came up to us, asked us for something, and we turned around and we helped them. Bing, they go, I like this person. This person helped me out. Now, by compulsion or good faith, I want to help them out. So by the way, tell me, what do you do? What are you trying to find? And then the person tells them, oh, well, by the way, I'm actually looking for a job. And then guess what the conversation goes now, if they know something. Really, I have just left an office where da-da-da-da-da, and they explain it in those terms. You see? So the networking is a little deeper than we think. It's really, we've been told it's just a guy standing out, handing out a bunch of business cards, hoping that, you know, he's kind of like machine gunning the room, hoping that it just happens to land in the hands of somebody who happens to be a hiring manager. Or you can actually build some relationships, get to know some people, maybe be a resource, and people will volunteer that information to you. I think I'd rather have it volunteered to me. I know, this isn't, I know, you're right, you want a, like a some sort of complex math situation, but it's not. It's just good old people soft skills that people have been doing for years, right? Been doing it for years. So it's a nuance. So here's the good motivation. These are already put in here for you. If you're not really sure about networking and why you should do it, this is some more things. Networking keeps you in the know. If you're out there talking to people, again, people who you are linking together with, who you're trying to know, trust, and like in order to build a relationship with, guess what? They know some things. They know some things about the companies that you're not at. They know something about the people who they hang out with who also know something about the companies that you're not at. They know something about the people who they go to church with who also work at companies that you're also not at. You see where it goes? They also have family members who work somewhere else who go to the same church that are also places that you're not at. You see how it spiderwebs out? It's not this massive thing in terms of X equals Y equals B equals C equals back to D to E. It really is a big, huge spiderweb ring, and the difference is the people that are in your inner circle know what you know, but the people that are on the outer rings of that spiderweb, they're the ones that know where the jobs are. You just need to get to them. How are you going to get to them? Not from the people who are just in your inner circle, because they know what you know. It's the people on the fringes of your inner circle. It's a book by Malcolm Gladwell. It's called The Tipping Point. If you haven't read The Tipping Point, it's a good book for you to read. Malcolm Gladwell, Tipping Point, one of my favorites. So we're talking about motivations here. Another good one is networking builds confidence. So for my introverted friends and my ambivert friends, if you're one way to build confidence in networking is to go out and do it. The only way you get better at something, any kind of skill, is by practice, use skills, and knowledge, right? So the more you're out there doing it, the more natural it starts to become, the kind of questions, and we're going to talk about that, because what kind of questions should you ask? You know, there's some things we're going to talk about, because there is some fear associated with it, correct? And we're going to debunk that. But for now, look at this. It also keeps you visible to prospects. Let's say you've been trying to chase this job down, and the job seems like it's a great one. You've read the rec. Let's say it's Target. But you were out networking, and you found out why that whole division is looking for new people. It's got a bad boss that's firing people. Would that be good to know? You won't know that sitting at your house, because Target's not going to put that on their website. But people who work there, or people who have friends or spouses or somebody else that works there, knows the inside story, right? Networking helps you get to know that. It's very neat, right? This is very unique. And then the last one here, networking is better than waiting on the phone to ring. I'm saying that one to you guys because I know this one's kind of low, right? But that whole idea of just sitting back waiting for the phone to ring, anybody trying to do that? Does that work? Is it fun waiting on the phone to ring after you've just emailed out 50 resumes? No. Right, getting very few responses. See, is this ringing true? See, now, see what this does? This actually makes it active, because when you go out and network, you have to be active. You can't be passive. Sitting at home, waiting for the computer and the emails, for your timer to go off to let you know that you've got new emails, that's passive. This, though, keeps you active. And it keeps you from having to wait and wonder and worry about, well, why haven't they? I filled out my resume. My resume was great. I had it. My brother does resumes for a living, and it looks perfect, and it's spotless. I prayed about it to God, and everything else is working. What happened? And see, now you start pondering. Why isn't this working? Why isn't this working? Right? And then the enemy likes to sow a little doubt in there. It's one of his favorite things. So let's talk about the types of networking, and then we're going to get into the hardcore stuff. This is what you need to know. This is what I learned while networking for the last 15 years professionally. There's opportunistic networking. This happens anywhere. This happens while you're standing in line in Starbucks. By the way, did you know that you could be standing next to the vice president or the hiring manager while you're at Starbucks? Right? We go, yeah, I get that. But did you know that this happens all the time? They drink coffee too. Yes? Yep. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about exactly what you should, how you can get into these conversations. And you're right. She's right. It is small talk because you don't want to bombard them with a whole bunch of questions. So that's excellent. Thank you for that, because we are going to get right into that. Okay. So again, I just want you to see that this happens all the time, every day. And you just say, what a stroke of luck. Or God was really blessing me today because I happen to be standing in line next to the vice president of this company. Or maybe it's the hiring manager, him or herself. But you have to think like this. These people are out. They're living life just like you are, and they're sitting at spots just like this. Strategic networking. If you're trying to be a lawyer, and that's what you want to do, you want to get into that field. Well, it makes sense to go online and figure out where all the lawyers are hanging out, and you want to fish where the fish are. All right? That's what we would say here in Texas. We want to fish where the fish are. So if you want to be a lawyer, go hang out where the lawyers are hanging out. You think they're going to know something about the jobs that are here? Absolutely they will. Yes? Well, no. Well, you wouldn't say that. If I'm standing in line at Starbucks and I'm getting a coffee and you're getting a coffee, what's the common ground? You want to start with coffee. So there's nothing wrong with saying, is that a coffee latte? Or I love drinking. You got the same thing. I love drinking that too. It's just, you said it yourself. It's small talk. It's not an interview process. And we're going to talk about that. What's the common ground? Right? Because to build relationships with anybody, there has to be a common ground. The common ground for all of us right here, right now, besides being human beings with blood flowing through our brains and us needing oxygen, is that we're all Christians. Right? So what would I say to you or anyone else that I don't know if I see you guys downstairs at the coffee down there in the church lobby? I'd start with the common ground. God is good. Yes, he is. All the time. Right? So it's common ground. What's the common ground? If you're at Starbucks, he likes coffee, you like coffee. That's an easy one to me. If you're at a situation where it's a bar, they're standing in line, they're getting a rum and coke, and you're about to get a glass of champagne because it's one of those kind of events. Is that a rum and coke? And that's okay if you're wrong. No, actually, it's bourbon. It's bourbon and coke. Really? I bet you there's a story behind that. Well, actually, there is. See, back in college, people like to talk. They like to talk. You know this. But so you don't say things that sound like you're trying to probe, because really you're not. Remember, it's not about you trying to probe for information. It's about you trying to make a connection first with a human being. And then what happens is as you unfurl that, you realize, wow, look at how much we had in common. And it was because we ran into a coffee shop together. It turns out that person could also be a Christian, and you could also talk about that. So, I mean, it spiderwebs out. We'll get into it more. So we're getting there. So strategic networking is now at the bottom for those who can't see this. This is the third one. Most people don't see this one. This is leveraged networking. All right? So leveraged networking would be if you have a spouse or someone who's already working at a company that hires a lot of people, especially people that you do what they do, then you obviously want to go to those events with your spouse knowing that this person is someone who's already in at the company. And that's a way to leverage something that's already existing. Or maybe it's a friend or a brother or a cousin that's already in at a company that you want to get in. That would be leveraged networking. Hey, let me know when y'all are going to do your next Habitat for Humanity thing at JCPenney because I'd love to come help. Well, sure, because they're always looking for volunteers. You don't have to just work at JCPenney and go help them when they're there, but you're going to be there when they're there. And then you're going to meet them and they're going to see how helpful you are and what you do. And then eventually you'll learn the names of the people there. When you learn the names of the people there, you have a reason to contact them. I know. I wish this was much more complicated, but it's not. What we're talking about here is just good old-fashioned people skills. And that's kind of crazy because we're people, you think we'd all have these skills, but no, we're in our head. And we're thinking about all kinds of things all day long. Okay? Let's move. So now, to everybody's favorite part of the presentation right here. Here we go. All right? We got to talk about it. Common fears associated with networking, because this is what's keeping most of you from doing it. And then the ones that you that get out there and try to do it, this is what has some of you doing it begrudgingly because you don't know these things. So here's what it is. What do you think is the number one fear associated with networking? What do you think? That's one of them. That's exactly one of them. What's another one? Think about it in terms of actually doing the networking. What do you think is... Well, failure is definitely in there, but think about while you're doing it. What's some things that people would think...
Selfish.
Could be selfish, right? Here's the number one fear as it relates to networking. Number one fear is this. What if I forget their name? Because how many people... Right? See... Mm-hmm. If you forget their name, and again, sometimes people have the name badges on, but sometimes they don't at these networking events. And sometimes it could be a female, she has real long hair, and her hair is covering up her name badge. Sometimes you're in a room where it's darker than this, and you got to go like this to try to read somebody. And that's awkward if you're a man trying to do this, right?
Right?
So if they don't write them large, they don't put your name large up there, and then you're thinking about this, and all you're doing is you're saying, I'm just trying to remember her name, and I can't because if I make it real obvious and I can't see and I'm squinting, I'm looking at her chest and she's trying to talk to me, that probably won't go over very well. So the biggest thing that we worry about is the names when we are out, because if you meet that managing partner, if you meet this person and you can't remember their name, and they go, well, it was very nice to meet you, Huey. And if I'm Huey, I go, it was nice to meet you too, John, Tom. Right? You already feel like you've made a bad impression because you couldn't remember the name, but they remembered yours. And so some people automatically in the first few minutes of networking are nervous because they're like, he just said his name, and I can't get him to repeat it without sounding like I didn't hear it. And then, all right, so that's one of the biggest fears. Then, here's the second one is, what do I say? Let's say I am good and I remember names, but what do I say to them? How do I make myself sound interesting inside of just 2 minutes? Right? Because this conversation is probably going on inside of 2 minutes. It doesn't last very long unless you really hit a nerve and then y'all start going somewhere with something, right? You find out that you're both from Missouri or something, you know, and you start talking about that. So that second one is, you know, what do I say? And we're going to answer all of these, by the way. And here's one, my introverted friends, you know what this one is. What if I'm not outgoing enough? Isn't that just for extroverted people networking? That can't be for me, right? Don't you have to have a certain gene to just walk in there and just glad hand everybody, right? That's what they might say. And then, of course, here's the one that got put on last by professional services people. PJ, how do I approach a conversation when people are already engaged? Or, and they tied, how do I leave a conversation where the person is going on and on and on, they're prattling on and on and on, and I need to leave them because I need to go meet other people in the room. I'm there to network with everybody, but this one person is so nervous about networking that they're just clinging on because that keeps them from having to go around the room and meeting everybody. So not only are they being selfish and holding themselves back, but they're holding you back, and you see it, and you're wondering, how do I walk away from this conversation without looking like a jerk? Right? This happens, right? How many people have had that happen? Where they just sat there and they just went on and on, and all you did was say one question, and now they own the conversation. Is that conversation fun?
No.
Are you building trust with this person?
Yeah.
Right? So what we're getting from that is that this is something we don't want to do either, right? So as sure as we're pointing it out, let's make sure that in the conversation we're asking good questions back. So now let's talk about the practicality of this and how to work with this. I'm going to go through all of these so you'll have some of these. So names, how do you do this? Well, you repeat the name, but not at every opportunity. So if I meet Huley here, I don't need to go, hey, Huley, it's good to meet you, Huley. So what brought you to Texas, Huley? Well, that's great, Huley. Well, that's awesome, Huley. What about your wife, Huley? If I say that, you're going, oh my God, this guy, he's got my name on steroids right now on his lips. Right? So you don't want to go that far, but when someone does say their name and they introduce it, now I find that the international sign for say your name again is this. What this does is this tells people, oh yeah, it is kind of loud in here. Maybe I should repeat it again. So even if you've heard it, as a way to sink it in, you could do this and they go, oh, John. Because doesn't John sound like Tom when you're in a loud room? Doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So they'll give you a mulligan if they're good networkers. They'll understand, oh, he didn't hear me. I need to modulate over the din of the room, right? So it's a good, nice little tactic to just lean in like you didn't hear it. Now you've heard it twice, and hopefully they've got a badge on. So here's what you want to do. You want to get two of your senses involved. There's the visual sense of being able to see their name on the badge, and there's the auditory sense of being able to hear it. If you just use just the visual or just the auditory, you can see that that's not as strong as if you had two senses involved. And I'm not going to suggest that you lick them, the sense of taste, okay? I'm not going there. But if you can get the visual and the audio both working together, you have two senses helping you try to remember this person's name. This is a simple psychology 101. Right here, Lauren.
At the bottom, I guess I'm kind of jumping ahead.
Yes, you are, but that's okay.
You said senses with an I. Sometimes what I'll do, if it's an unusual name, or I'll ask them to spell it for me.
Absolutely. And by the way, here's another thing. You never want to assume that everybody spells it the way you think. Jeff might spell his name with one F. He might spell Jeff with a G. G-E-O-F. So sometimes we just go, oh yeah, and we automatically fill in the blanks because that's how we hear when we hear things. But it's okay to have them correct you. If you go, Cindy, is that Cindy with a Y? And well, of course it's Cindy with a Y. How else would you spell it? Well, you could spell it with an I. But see, now the fact that you have that transaction, you remember, this is Cindy who gets a little touchy about whether it's a Y or a Y or an I. See, it's word associations right here.
Is there an advantage to just give your first name because it's so hard for people to remember names to begin with? Just give your first name initially?
I think you can, unless your name is John, because there may be 15 million Johns in the room. And how do you stand out from all the other Johns? So I would kind of pay attention to it. I like to put out the last name because it does differentiate you. But initially, there's not a problem with it. You could do that. If you have a name like John or Mike, of course, it's pretty easy. There's going to be some other Mikes and Johns. But if you do go off the first name, make sure that you're dynamic in some kind of way that they remember, this is the John that's the big cowboy fan. This is the John that grew up in Carrollton. Make sure that there's a reason for them to separate the Johns. Because I've got like 9 friends right now named Chris. So we got Smart Chris, we got Lazy Chris, we got Sport. They don't like these names, but hey, we have to separate them somehow. That's how we do it. Over here, there was a question.
Usually, I just can't get their name the first time. So I want to ask the second time. So yesterday, I tried to ask, can I have your full name so I can find you in LinkedIn?
Mm-hmm.
So I have another chance to know, to remember his name.
Mm-hmm. So what's the question?
It's not a question.
It's just a comment. Okay, great. Yeah, absolutely. I thought there was a question in there somewhere, but that's all right. Sherry?
I heard one workshop, the speaker said if you meet a new person and you heard their name, I'm Sherry, and you heard it, it's like Sherry, Sherry, Sherry in your heart, and then you remember it with your, you know, very specific feature,
mm-hmm.
like he wear a glass, or he's really tall, or something like that. It's
absolutely.
Much easier to remember my name.
Absolutely. Right here. So when people are talking to you, they're telling you who they are, right? So, for example, if you've been watching and observing with me this morning, what you notice is I do talk with my hands, right? That's a distinct trait. You might talk to DeWitt, and DeWitt may not talk with his hands, right? But that's something different that you know right off the bat. You also know that I move around. I wouldn't be the guy that could stand behind a podium. You've seen me move from here to there to there. You see that I'm... And then if you understand a little bit of psychology, you know that that's a fluid thinker. Fluid thinkers have to move when they think because they think better when they move. See what you've learned about me already in just a few seconds? You're doing the same thing as you get around people. Are they talking with their hands? So if you do meet a Tom and a Tom and a Tom and a Tom, I guarantee you all three Toms aren't fluid thinkers, aren't talking with their hands or whatever. There's something unique about each of the Toms that you just met. Pay attention to the clues. We're here in Dallas, so if you see somebody, I use this example here. If you meet Barbara and you're going, how do I remember Barbara? It's easy to remember Barbara because she's a Niners fan in Dallas Cowboy land. What the heck is she doing down here? And she's wearing, and she's probably wearing a pin to show it off that she's, you know, I'm a Niners fan. And her pin right there, especially now that football season starts. You got to remember, those are clues. This is telling you something about this person. And guess what? It's an entryway into the conversation. And in fact, I would walk into a room with attorneys all the time, and they're all dressed like this. They're all wearing three-piece suits. I would make the joke. I'd say, oh, that's Hugo Boss $7.99 at Macy's, and they'd laugh. They go, no, actually, it was $1,500 at Burberry's. And I was like, but I was okay with it because I'm finding out something about them. You know, the real pompous ones would say, yes, it's like, how dare you, a Hugo Boss. The ones who were humble would go, oh, man, I got this at JCPenney's. It just looks like... And I would go, wow, that told me something right then and there from just the first few minutes and me just throwing out something. Again, it's observational. What are you looking at? Is everybody in the room wearing black and there's one person wearing yellow? Is that a clue? Is that telling you something? Is everybody else in the room all wearing glasses but a few people aren't? Is it a room that's male-dominated? Is it a room that's female-dominated? Is it minority? Is it majority? There's things happening going on right there in front of you that you can read. And any one of these could be a good deal. So if you're out and there's food and there's drinks, you can talk about that. Because somebody's going to say, well, where's the food at? Well, if you've already been there and you've already checked out the place, you can say, oh, the food is over here, here, and here, and here. What do you look like? A resource, somebody who's trying to help. Where are the bathrooms? If you get there early and scout the place and figure out where the bathrooms and where everything is, when you're talking to someone, guess what you can offer now? Oh, well, hey, I had a great time meeting you, Mike, and so you know what? I'm going to go find the bathroom. Hey, you know what? The bathroom's right over there. Boom and boom. Thank you. All right? Who's all that strategic when they're doing it? But really, the really top 1% networkers, they have stuff like that down. And it's a joy to talk to them because they don't dominate the conversation. They ask great questions. They know where things are so they can point you out when you're ready to go. And when it's time to break off the conversation and go talk to someone else, they do it gracefully. And they never make you feel stupid when they leave. See? And you can get to that level. Everyone in here can. And when you do that, people want to give those people things. They're just like, here, take my business cards. Because that's what we want to see. So what do I say? And this again, what's the most notable trend in your industry? You start talking to someone, what most people ask is, hey, so what do you do? Well, talk about what's the big trend. So how is the technology affecting real estate? How does technology affect healthcare? How is technology affecting, because technology is affecting everything, right? On some level, right? People are going from static to digital. That has to have an effect. So that's an easy one to ask, right? Especially if you're a business-minded one, right? So what keeps you busiest at work? That's a softball. That's really easy as well, you know? Because who isn't today saying, oh, I'm so busy? Really, so what's got you so busy? What are you working on? And people love to tell you what their projects are, what they're working on, what they're doing, right? You could ask a big question like this. How did you get started in this industry? This is at the bottom for those who can't see that. And then, so what's the best thing about your job? These are all questions you can ask to someone when you're out networking that will open them up. And by the way, for my introverted friends, the best way to network if you're introverted, ask questions. Because guess what? Extroverts love to talk. They love to talk. You just got to ask a good question. We have some of them here. Mike.
Just a comment. I notice all those questions are work-related.
Yes.
What if you're a social happy hour?
Love it.
And the person's not really there to talk about work.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to enjoy themselves, be relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're asking questions like work and career and industry? And doesn't that kind of defeat your networking somewhat?
Not at all. I'll tell you why. You spend more time at work than you do anywhere else. They have an opinion about their work. Either they love it or they hate it. If they love it, this doesn't bother them at all. If they hate it, then yes, those people might go, you know what, I came here to get a drink. The last thing I want to do right now is talk about work. And that's fine if they tell you that. That's fine. Because again, remember, we're just gaining information here. And all it takes then is, what does that tell you? If someone says, if I go up to Healy and I just go, you know, Healy, you're a nice guy. I really don't want to talk about work right now. I'm here to have a happy hour drink, and then I'm going to go home. You know, my wife's out of town, so she's not going to be there for me to. That's a perfect cue for Hughley to, again, build the relationship, right? Trust, like, and know. Really?
So what do you like to do for fun?
What do you like to do? Yeah, this is not hard. So what do I like to do for? Okay, great. We'll switch the subject. What do you like to do for fun? You know? They'll tell you. And then the fact that you listened and keyed in on the fact that they were not having a good moment right now starts to build a relationship, a rapport between you and them, because you're showing them then that you're emotionally intelligent. Remember, we have regular intelligence, but there's also emotional intelligence. Most of this that I'm teaching you, it's coming from emotional intelligence. Social psychology is really what this is. In the back.
Since before I get stuck, because I am an introvert, so usually, like, I'll ask a question, but I always turn into more of a listener.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, here's a good one. That's a great scenario that she just brought up. Now, usually, good networkers understand that they're not supposed to dominate the conversation. So usually at these events, people say, so what do you do? That's their turn of saying, okay, I heard you out. I've been doing all the talking. You've heard me out. Then they flip it to you and go, so what do you do? And then that's when people stumble, because they go, well, actually, I'm kind of between jobs right now. And then they seem insecure about who they are and what they do. And we can talk about that. But when you're talking with people who understand good people skills, they'll flip it back to you. They have to. If they don't, you're learning something about this person as well. And if they continue to go, it's okay. And here it comes to interrupt, but only this way. You'd interrupt this way. Say, you know, John, that's great. I really appreciate learning everything that you've just said about you. I'd also like to kind of insert myself into the conversation here by letting you know that, and you can say whatever that is. And then they'll realize, if they're gracious, they'll realize, okay, you're right, I kind of have been dominating the conversation. But it's a nice, assertive way, but at the same time, not stepping on someone's toes way to let them know, hey, you've been doing all the talking here. And so when you say, hey, if I can interrupt you just for a second, I'd love to insert myself in the conversation here. When you said blank, blank, and blank, I relate to that because, and then you take it there. Now, if they're smart and they have a good social EQ, right, they should realize at that moment, I don't need to be shameful about it. I just need to realize that I was talking too much. And now, out of grace, you want to give the other person some airtime. Because who wants to be that guy? We do it, but it's not because we want to be the guy or girl who talks too much. We just do it because sometimes we haven't had anyone to talk to all week, maybe. Maybe been sitting home on the computer, sending out emails, and got nothing back. So now when you get in front of people, now you just verbal all over them, right? So sometimes people have that going on. You know, I know some women that were unhappily married that when they got around anybody else other than not named their husband, they would gush because their husbands did not like to talk. So when they got around other people, guess what they wanted to do? See, and even that's an emotional intelligence to understand and read that in a person. And usually they'll tell you, oh, I'm so sorry. I know I'm just going a mile a minute. Mm-hmm. But that's okay because evidently you needed to talk today. Really? Well, that's so empathetic of you. Hey, you needed someone to talk to. Now, if you don't think your points just went up, if you were a stock, if you don't think you're starting to skyrocket now, right? You are. Let's talk about these. Here's some other fears. What if I'm not outgoing enough? Right? Here's the introvert talking to us now. So Again, I tell you, to find the extroverts in the room, use the power of asking questions. Relax. Here's a way to do it visually. Here's your visual mental picture if this is you. Envision the room as your home, right? Pretend you are hosting. When people come to your house, you don't go, yeah, bathroom's over there. Oh, yeah, fix yourself something to eat. Go in the refrigerator, grab your own drink. That's not what you do. You become a host. You say, oh, well, while you're here, I'm going to take care of you. Imagine if you walk into a networking situation, even though it's not your home, you have the mentality of a host. People find people who are a good host friendly. And if, again, if this is about linking together of individuals through trust and network, trust and relationship building, that's a good way to do it right off the bat. So try to see it as a host if you're that way. The extroverts in the room, just a minute, a second on that. This is the cheat way to do it. And I'm going to tell you it's okay to cheat in this way until you get your skills. But check this out. If you're the introvert in the room and you see the extrovert, and that extrovert is Mike, and Mike has a bunch of people around him, guess what he's going to do if you walk up and just introduce yourself to that one person? If Mike's a true extrovert, he's going to introduce you to everybody in that room, in that circle that he's talking in, excuse me. So through meeting one person, you just met six. All right? Let me ask you a question. When you go networking, how many people do you think you need to meet before you leave? Anybody? How many people? 10?
15.
Anybody?
20?
No, what's the number?
Is there a definite number?
I think so. What do you think? How many people do you need to meet for it to be a successful networking event before you leave? So you're saying 1, 5, 10, 15. Anybody else want to throw it in? I have a free t-shirt that's not real that I could throw out to you if you get this right.
7.
Okay. Okay.
Jesus, it was either 3 or 12.
Right.
So I picked 3.
Okay. I like that. All right. Now, this is completely subjective, but this is how I did it for the last 15 years. Being the new guy in every industry function that the Business Journal threw, right? And it seems to work. And this will take a lot of pressure off. The number for me was 5. Let me tell you why. Okay? It was just 5. Now, the pressure's off. For those people that tell you that it's a numbers game, you got to go and hand your cards out to everybody, which then makes you don't build any relationship with any of them. They just take your card and they throw it in the trash because there's a million financial planners in the room, and I've had people do that to me. They just walked up, gave me the card, and said, "Hey, nice to meet you, so and so. Hey, if you ever need financial services planning, PJ, I'm the guy." And then they walked off and they just did this. And so I was like, "This is the last guy I would use. I have no relationship with this guy." So here's the deal. 5, and here's the deal. Within the first hour, right, I'm trying to meet the first 3 of those 5. But what happens is when I meet the first 3 people, guess what they do? They introduce me to the 4th and the 5th person before long. And by the time we're having a great conversation, I start out with the number 5 and I meet 20 people before I leave, 20 to 25 people. That was my average. But I started with just 5. If you think right now that you need to go into the room and meet 20 people and you don't meet that, you're going to beat yourself up and say, "I didn't network well." It's not true. In fact, the program can go on for 3 hours, and you don't need to be there for 3 hours. Once I get my 5, and then they introduce me to everyone else, and they do their math, I leave after that. You don't have to be there all night. So whoever's telling you it's about handing out 100 business cards to 100 people, and that's the hard and fast rule, no, because you know why? It takes a little bit longer to build relationships, right? So for me, which I would just suggest to you, say, "I want to meet 5 people tonight." If you want to make it 3, that's fine. But just know that if you make it a goal to meet 5, guess what's going to happen? You're going to meet way more than 5. And if you meet the one extrovert in the room, he's going to see to it that you blow your number out within the first few minutes, he or she, because guess what extroverts do? They love introducing people. "Hey, have you met so-and-so and so-and-so yet?" You know? Some of them will even tell you this. There's a gentleman, a big lawyer here in Dallas. He's a big Batman fan. By the way, that's how I became real good friends with this attorney. It would seem we have nothing in common, but we're huge Batman fans, of all things. Here's a 64-year-old attorney. I'm a 46-year-old guy, and we get into a great conversation about Batman, of all things. Why? He had Batman cufflinks. and I saw them. Yes. And is he a managing partner? Yes. A managing partner of a law firm. So anybody that wanted to be a lawyer, I already have a contact for you. Tom Melsheimer, Fish and Richardson, huge Batman fan, right? We have a bond because of that. It's that simple. It's that silly, but also that true. So anyone that's telling that you've got to meet all these people and you got to stay there for the 2 hours, no, if you've got kids to go pick up, strategically walk in, I need to meet my five tonight. And the rest will all solve itself and watch what happens. And if you pick more than one extrovert, you might meet 50 people that night. Like if the five people you meet, all five are extroverts, they're going to at least introduce you to 10 people on their own if you stand there next to them for at least 20 minutes. Because an extrovert can't just stand there with you and talk to all these people without saying something about their new friend that's standing right here. They can't. You would not be sitting there in the corner going, oh. The extrovert's going to go, hey, come on. Come on, let me show you. You want to meet the judge? The judge is actually here. You want to meet him? That's what they do. I wish I could, I should write a book about this. Right? But nobody would believe it because it sounds too simple. They want a mathematic formula. Well, if you do six business cards and six business cards is worth 1.5 connection. And it's not like that at all. So if you're a scientist, I'm not trying to smash science, but I'm going to tell you, social skills are an art. Absolutely. And art has been in the eye of the beholder in terms of how beautiful it is. But it's art because it's simplistic and it's natural and it just happens every day. Some of us are very aware when it's happening and we know how to encourage it. Not because we just want to grab a job lead, but because we also in the process might be able to give them something. It's a completely different way to look at it. Okay, so that answers that. How do I approach real fast? If you do see somebody and you know specifically you're there to meet the president of this bank because you want to work at this job, and there he is. But guess what? He's an extrovert, which means what? He's got 7-8 people around him already because they love being around the head cheese, right? He's the big guy, the big man on campus. So how do you get into that conversation and network? Well, here's what you do. The natural, this is psychological clues, how we are from a psychological standpoint. If you get in a person's line of eyesight, not just the ear sight. When they look up and they see you, that's a sign to come in and acknowledge them. So if I can get Sherry to look up, and if Sherry looked up and she saw me, then it's okay for me to go, hey, Sherry, I'd be remiss if I didn't say hello to you right now. I wanted to at least come by and say hi. But see, if Sherry doesn't look at me and she's talking to Lynn and I go, Sherry, all right, that's embarrassing. And I've seen people do that. I've seen people go, because they were trying to get in their eyesight. They had the right idea that it is about the eyesight, but they had the wrong idea in how they executed it, right? So you'll see that. And then you'll see this. Have the extrovert who already knows everybody in the room to introduce you, right? He knows that guy more than likely that you're trying to meet. That's the president of the bank. Say, hey, do you know so-and-so and so-and-so? Yeah, I do. Would you mind introducing me? No, I don't mind. Let's go. An extrovert's not afraid of meeting new people. If he doesn't know him, he might just go take you and do it anyway. Then here's the other part of it. If you're leaving, say you didn't get a chance because he's had a ton of people around him, you couldn't get eyesight, you didn't have a friend to introduce you straight up into him, you can do the whole beg forgiveness thing on the way out. When that person is talking, if they pause somewhere in that conversation, it's okay to say, hey, you know, John, I'd be remiss if I didn't come up and say hi to you tonight before I left. PJ Dunn, just wanted to make sure I introduced myself before I had a chance to leave. Sorry for the interruption. And people seem to be okay with that from an ethical standpoint. So that's what you can do, right? So how do I exit gracefully from a conversation? Again, we're going to go back to social science. This is a real easy one. If someone's going on and on and on and on and on, it's really good, Watson, to just simply, as they're doing that, just to go and see, you immediately reached for my hand without me telling you. And I go, Watson, it was really great to meet you. I need to go ahead and meet some other folks tonight, but I had a great time. Thanks. Right? See, I just reached out my hand and look what he did. I didn't have to tell him to reach out his hand. He did it. That's the cue when you need to break out of a conversation. When you stick your hand out, they go, oh, he's going to shake my hand. I know, right? You want something more difficult than this, right? But this is how the pros do it every day. It's just that 1%. So beg forgiveness is what this says. I know this is kind of hard to see here at the bottom. Before you exit, you can also introduce them to someone and then bow out. So if you've got talkative Tom and he's all in your ear. Now this is up to you, how you're feeling that day. If you're feeling, I don't know, let's say a little negative that day, you can introduce him to somebody in the room you don't like and run. I'm not saying you should do that, but you could. Or if there's someone in the room that you think is nice and maybe who does have the skills and wouldn't let him over talk, knows how to handle himself in the situation, you could then introduce him to someone else. And at that moment, you say, gentlemen, excuse me. And then that person will start talking to that person. But you wouldn't want to do this to a good friend, because now your friend, especially if your friend doesn't have good skills on how to walk away, because then they're going to come up to you later and go, why did you do that? Why did you put talkative Tom on me? Oh my gosh. I was trying to network for this bank job because the president's right over there, and you introduced me to talkative Tom. All right, so that would blow up in your face, and so you don't want to do that. But that is, however, a way to move on and get out of the conversation. So that's how you would get out of those. Let's talk about follow-up, because this is very important. Then we got to get into our exercise part here to kind of hone and own this in. So follow-up, what should you do? Within 2 to 3 days, you can do it on the same day. If you told that person, hey, listen, I'm going to send you an email tonight with my resume. That's fine if you do that. But a lot of times, the industry standard, if there's an industry and if there's a standard that we like, I wouldn't go past 3 days. 2 days out is probably right in the middle for most people. Again, if you meet them that morning at a networking breakfast and you told them that night you were going to send them a resume, then do that night. So that takes that. When you follow up, here's why this is so powerful, because again, we're being strategic about this. The things that you talk about when you meet this person, right? That should be the subject of your headline and your email. Why? Because if you send an email out that just says follow up, you know how many of those they get a day? Do you stand out if you just put follow up in the subject line? No. But if I talk to Tom Melsheimer and I say Batman, he's going to open that email because he's going to remember there was only one dude tonight that talked to me about Batman. I know exactly who this is. That guy was refreshing when I talked to him, so I'm going to... Mm-hmm.
And I say, hey, I'm looking. Should I send that, you know, follow up and send him my resume, or should I just follow up and say, hey, you know, let me know if you hear anything applicable to what I'm looking for?
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully when you talk to him, if you guys decided to hand each other business cards, he's waiting to help because he wants to be a resource to you. So I think there's probably nothing wrong with sending your resume and being able to say, hey, you know, hey, John, who do you know that would need to see this resume? Who comes to mind when you think about showing a resume of somebody who you think is talented enough or gifted enough or a fit for a particular job? So it's always good to ask the questions. I think that's good. I would do that. Unless the conversation wasn't that good, like if he wasn't already on that level where we're already ready to, you know, start being a resource to each other. So you want to feel that out. So when you're meeting these people, let's go back here.
Yeah, I just have a question about virtual introductions.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about sending an email to somebody and they're doing this to you?
Some friend gave a virtual introduction.
Gotcha.
Yeah. To a very senior person at an organization. And I was copied on it and I responded, reply all, thank you for the introduction, and then would like to speak to you at some point in time. But if I don't get a response, email back to that person, what do you do with that?
So the question is, that's actually a really good question. So the question is, what happens if someone makes a virtual introduction? Because by the way, if we can do this face-to-face, say, hey, I'll make an introduction for you, you can obviously always do that also online through emails, and you'll see that. It's that email that someone sends wanting to connect you to somebody. And she's saying, what happens if your friend does set you up with a senior person, and then this you are copied on the email, and then you respond to this person because they're making a virtual introduction. What do you do then if they don't respond? So a couple of questions I have to ask because I'm a strategic and I want to know everything, right? So how did she set it up? Did her language look like, oh, here's somebody I'm pawning off on you, because then he won't want to answer that? Or did she, when she set it up, did she set it up in such a way that where it sounded compelling to meet you? See, when you do a virtual introduction. Here's what I would say. If I'm going to take someone else's time and now say, look, I want to make it to where I want you to introduce you to someone who I think is great, who you don't know yet, I hate to say it this way, but you almost have to kind of make it compelling. Because if he's the senior vice president of a bank, he's getting kind of stuff like this all day long. And he's hired people to handle that for him. He doesn't want to have to handle this stuff. He wants to stick with the X's and O's and the numbers. And this is an HR type thing. And he's already got people to do that. However, if you can reveal why it's important for this person should meet you, or why you think you're doing this introduction, and it needs to be compelling, and she should know this person well enough to know what this person would find compelling, you set it up that way. But you don't just send a little, hey, John, here's Susan, who I met at this thing. I think she'd be great. That's not enough. That's not compelling to me. Instead, if she says something like, John, I know you talk a lot about how when there's good people out there, you love to meet them because good workers are hard to find. Well, I think I found just that. And I wanted to make this see, that's compelling. I want to read that. So they need to know something about the person who they're about to refer to, because if you don't, it just sounds like you're pawning somebody off on somebody, and they don't want that. It could also be that he's really, really busy right now and hasn't had a chance to sit down and do it. Most C-level executives that I talk to, the ones that I coach, they have a list. And the first priorities always stay the first priorities, and they'll handle that first before they get to the other thing. And you right now are the other thing, until they handle the priorities first. That's just how they think. So I wouldn't take it too personal, but I would look at how she set that up. Look at how she introduced you. If she didn't make it compelling, it's another email, even when you do a virtual one. So when you do this, I say when you're writing an email, I use the 3R technique. First, there's the review. When you write somebody, hey, I met you at so-and-so and so-and-so, that way you connect them. You're not asking, hey, remember that one time when I met you at this one thing, and you're making them have to think, you're reminding them. So the 3 R's are, in an email, is to review, then reveal what it is that you want, and then the last R is a request. You got to ask them something in an email. If you don't ask them something in an email, there's no point for them to respond. But if there's a question at the end of the email, I can't tell you how many emails I've seen that look like an infomercial. There's no question at the end of it. So they read that as in, okay, I don't have to respond to this. So review, I'm not going to expect you to remember the last time you met me. I'm going to tell you. So there's a review, there's the reveal, the reason why I'm writing today is, and then there's the request. So if all things being equal, when could we get together? See, that's the request. And that should be the last line of the email, the question, because that's what they're going to read last. And it needs to be brief. They'll get to it, so they'll understand, oh, so this isn't pertaining to this. This is what they're revealing to me right now, and then here's their request. So that might be a good format to help you with that. Invite them to lunch or strategic event. If you know this person, this is always good to get them out. Something about eating, something about food. People and food, there's just something about it. The Bible starts with food, and it ends with food, right? The fruit, the banquet table. I don't know, something about it. You can do some research and tell me if there's something different, but that's what I've seen. You can send or post articles that the contact would be interested in. So if you do know a little bit about this person, because you have networked, and remember, you were gaining information about them, and when you find out what they like or what they know, what they're interested in, if they're into 5Ks, you get an article about this great new running shoe that's supposedly great for knees or whatever. Usually when you talk to runners, they talk about their knees, their backs, all this other stuff, the hours they spend running, getting up, whatever. If you hear something about these people and you happen to get an article that has to do with something what you talked about, there's nothing wrong with sending that article saying, hey, read this today, thought of you. Boom. And make sure it's not some long opus, okay? Make sure that it's something quick and easy that they can get into. And see, what it is we're just making a connection. Remember we talked about trust, relationship building, people we like. We like people who we think are kind of like us, right? We're homogeneic that way. Okay, let's move. Here's what you need to know about emails, because we are getting to that email part, and then we'll get into our little exercise here that'll be fun. Here's what you need to know. 64% of the people who say that they open the email, they do it because of the subject line. Do you think differently about the subject line now? 64%. Then we have that up against the knowledge that 84% of the emails will just be spam. That's how people will consider it. So the likelihood of getting in, not great, but if it has a killer subject line, it has a 64% chance of getting open.
So
Sure.
We may have already done that.
Go ahead.
Oh,
can we? Yeah. So.
One thing I have been put on there was job opportunity. The guy doesn't know whether I'm asking for a job opportunity or whether there's a job opportunity for him. So he may go, well, I need to read the email a little bit more to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the only thing I've thought of so far.
As a subject line?
As a subject line.
So when you're networking with these people, what are you finding out about them? Like I said, I wrote Tom Melsheimer to get in there because he's a Batman fan. Has nothing to do with the law. But he opened that email.
Most of the folks that I'm meeting are virtual by LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just get a connection.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm kind of struggling with because I don't know necessarily anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, but see, here's the thing, though. Look at LinkedIn, right? It tells you all the information right there. You know where they worked, what associations, what school they went to, what their degree's in. You got a minefield of information right there. And it turns out that they might have went to the same school you went to. Maybe they've been to some of the same classes. Maybe they've had some of the same trainings. Again, you're just looking for common ground. What is it besides just being in Texas? What is it besides being a fellow human being? They're telling you who they are right there on LinkedIn. So look at there, go back and mine that for information. It turns out that they may have even spoken at an event that you were at. Or maybe they were at an event that you were speaking at. Maybe they go to the same church. Maybe their wives go to the same soccer games that your kids go to because, I mean, we're all incredibly connected. We just have to ask the right questions, do the right kind of research. So I would figure that out, and then, you know, you might be able to put something like that in there. And it'll take you a while to craft a good subject line, by the way. It's not easy, so I don't want to make anybody think this is easy. Right here. Yeah, absolutely. There's a gentleman named Thane who's here, but when you come out here into the main hall, there'll be any of us. I will tell you the easiest way to do it would be go on to LinkedIn right now, look at the people who already have great profiles, and I would mimic that. Yeah, we can. We have some people up here that we can do that. So we can talk to Thane. You can talk to me afterwards. We can sit down. I mean, that's what I did. I just looked at, so since I'm a professional development coach, I looked at all the other coaches out there and saw what they put on their website, or put on their LinkedIn. And whatever they said, that was an outline for what I probably needed to think about. And then the ones that were high rated, like got the most hits and views. You know, so a lot of this is not that you have to build something straight from scratch, which will create a lot of overwhelm for some of you. For some of us, the LinkedIn profile really is, it's a map. So how are the people mapping out their lives on it?
Is there a computer that I could do that at here, or not even go get my laptop?
I'm not sure. I'd have to talk. You're asking operational questions. I don't know. I can talk to Martha, and Martha would know because she runs most of it, so... I'm pretty sure there is, or somebody will let you borrow the laptop. I'm pretty sure of that. So, but we can do that. LinkedIn is good. Any other thoughts about the subject line? Okay. So remember now, we now know how important it really is, what you put in the subject. So that way, when you are networking, remember the things that you were talking about with these people. And hopefully you got into a good conversation about something, whether it was running, superhero movies, whatever, and that's something that you can use to stand out from everyone else who's just going to go follow up. That's what usually most people write as their subject line after they've met somebody. And if you're a person who's networked a lot and you've networked at least 4 or 5 events and everybody's doing the same thing, they're all writing follow-up, you see where all of a sudden you just blend in rather than be different. All right, so here's some tools to help you that I thought might be really, really good for you. I think that when you create a spreadsheet of the people that you met, I think data is always very important. What you want to do is, it doesn't have to be exhaustive. Notice I just have 3 columns. Who did you meet? What was the event? What was going on? Or what were they looking for? And where was it? What this does is, if you start to put all these names down and you notice that you're meeting people at a certain place a lot, and that's where most of your leads are coming from, then that tells you some intel that you need. It's telling you that that's probably a good thing to keep going to those types of events. Yeah.
Can I have a question? You said that people regard 84% of the emails they get as spam.
No, you can call them. You can call them. What you'll want to know then is the email might actually be that you send them is, hey, what's a good time to reach you on the phone? Because just trying to randomly call people throughout the day, you're not going to find a good time. But if they know it's coming in advance, and that might happen through the email because they're more likely to open an email even though they realize how much of it is spam, still people lean on their email. They just do. Well, of course, when you're, again, so, and you weren't here in the first part, so that's where you kind of, we talked about that networking is really about building a relationship with people. So in that first 2 minutes, when we're talking about what do you say to people when you first meet them, it's not about, hey, help, can you help me get a job? It's really about trying to find out more about them. And then they may tell you some things that you might be a good resource for them. And when you do that, people tend to want to work in kind. They want to help you because you help them. So it's more about helping other people when you're out doing this. So that's what I'm saying. So hopefully when you're having these conversations, they're not just flighty conversations so that you can get to what you want. Hopefully you're doing a lot of active listening and you're repeating things that need to be repeated. And then you're showing them that I was listening. And when that happens, then they care about getting an email from you. You're not just that guy I met that one time at that one thing. Which happens to the people who just think that they just need to come up, shake hands, get all the information from them, and then leave. They don't remember that guy.
Oh, yeah,
that's right. That's right, and that's what we're doing here. So online, right now, these are some free contact software programs that you can use. What it'll do is it'll go in and it'll take you. It's www.contactually.com and then www.yesware.com. I think one of those is still free. One of them is blown up. Real big, so they're starting to charge a little bit for a monthly deal. But what they do is they just take all your contacts and put it in one place, and then it sets up, it lets you set up a flag to say, hey, remind me every week or 2 weeks or every month to contact this person or at least send them an email. Because a lot of times, and now we meet so many people, so many places, you have a stack of business cards. You're not, if it's not organized, if it's not something helping you remember it, you're not going to just remember to go through that list of 50 business cards that you just got in that 1 week. But these systems will help you. I believe they will let you set up groups. Yes. It'll let you set up groups. But it'll take everything that you've got in LinkedIn, everything that you got in Facebook, and everything you got in Twitter, and everything you got maybe in Tumblr, and everything you got in Instagram. It'll take all of those and put those in one unique place, and then it'll set up targets for you. And it'll just say, how frequently do you want to talk to this person? How frequently do you want to talk to that person? And you set it to weekly or monthly or whatever. Because again, we're all about trying to keep that relationship. People go to a ton of networking events, especially here in Dallas. So they're not going to remember you after a couple of weeks. That's why we want to get back to them pretty quickly once we do meet them. And these tools, just like how we have things on our phone to remind us bill pays and all that stuff, these things are doing the same. These packages are doing the exact same thing, and some of them are free. I think Yesware still might be free. But this is to solve the problem that I'm too busy. I'm too busy to take all that data that I got on these business cards and transfer it all into one system management place that I could pull up at any time on my phone when I need it. This will put all your contacts in one place for you and then also remind you. And hopefully because you have asked good questions and have got common ground with them on some level, you'll know what you want to write and what you want to say. So those are just two tools. There may be even more out there because busyness is now the big problem. And they're trying to find ways to put time back in people's calendars. And some of these will do that. The last piece is here about meetup. Okay. Some people ask me, so where do you go meet people then? Where do I go to network? Well, you can go on meetup here and you can see this is my profile. It shows me how many meetups I have based off of the different things I say I'm interested in. And it tells me how many meetups are nearby. Look at that. That's 2,700, right? And here's one that I just recently went to. Of course, this is a little dated since then. But you go on Meetup, you set up a little profile, it's free, and you tell it what your interests are, and you'll find people who already have a common ground with you on something, and all you got to do is show up wherever they're showing up, and these are people now that you're going to get into their network, right? And then you'll find out what they know that you don't know because they weren't in your inner circle, right? So Meetup is a great way to go do that. If you haven't done that yet, it's a free tool again. I think it's wonderful because it does set you up well. Okay, so you can do Meetup for that reason. Here they are right here. I just put in a couple of them. Dallas Young Professionals. Look how many members there are to these groups. All right? I just put in a bunch of random ones. people already meeting up every week. This one has 2,100 people in it. Dallas Young Professionals. If you think you fit that demographic, boom, there they are. Look at them. It even tells you when their next meetup was. Now, this was obviously done in July, July 26. So people are getting together. They are meeting. They are connecting. But not everybody's connecting well. And hopefully today I gave you some tips on how you would connect well with other people, which isn't scientific at all. It's really emotional intelligence. It's really the social sciences that really come into play. Okay, so that's just kind of an example of just some of the different ones you can meet, you can find. So that's networking. Anybody have any questions before we move into our exercise? Any questions? Any challenges? Any comments? All right. With somebody you just met, how do you ask them questions to understand?
Well, I was referred to someone who works in the company, sent them an email and say, oh, so-and-so referred me to you as a good resource within Parkland Hospital. I'd like to take about 15 minutes of your time when you have a chance just so that we can talk and learn a little bit more about Parkland and the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have a conversation Thursday.
Okay.
I'm scratching my head. Okay, now that I've kind of got an in with somebody, how do I, what type of questions should I be asking, or how do I drive that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, and it sounds like you did. You have
one of the primary things that I look for when I go on a job interview is I want to know about the company because I want to know if I want to work for that company. And so there's two questions that I always ask is what do you like about your job? And then the second one is why do you stay with the company? I'll ask them, how long have you been with the company? And then I'll ask them, why do you stay with the company? And they usually like that question because it gives them an opportunity to open up and be personal.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Spoken from an introvert. How about that? Introverts ask great questions, right? Because they're always talking. The extroverts are always talking. The introverts are always listening, so they can ask great questions. They have great perspective on that. And that's what I would say, too. The first thing you want to do on any of these interactions, before we get into our exercise, on any of these interactions, right, the first thing to do is to find the common ground with that person. Before you start getting into all the tell me everything about Parkland, what's their mood? Are they in a good mood? Do they seem to be a little edgy? See if you can notice some clues that they're giving you already before you start. And that might give you a good place to start. If they're a person who's amicable people like to talk a little bit about what's going on. They'll share. If they're not, if they're a time-sensitive crunch person, you don't know because they're always looking at their watch and they're always trying to see how much longer this is going to take. Then you know that you're going to take straight, short sentences straight to the point because that's what those kind of people want to hear.
This is just going to be a phone conversation.
Oh, then you're fine because you can have your laptop open and you can have their website up, and if there's something that's striking you, you can ask it. But I would appeal to the person first and just find out more about, I think what Lauren said was perfect. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's how I would go with that. Anybody else before we jump into this will get it going. So let's do that then, because I know they're going to be ending up here probably another 15 minutes. All right. What I want you to do is, and what we're going to do to practice everything that we just learned, is I'm going to create one group over here, another group there, another group there, another group there. In corners, I think we're going to be in groups of two, maybe three. We have a little overlap. Some people have left. But before we do that, okay, what I want you to do is take some time right now to write out a question that you would ask. Because again, people in here, you haven't met them. Maybe you don't know the people in here unless you came with them. But think about what we talked about earlier, about good questions, right? What do I say? What are some things that you might say? And if you can think of two good questions that you might say, go ahead and write those down. And I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that, and then we'll split up into the corners, and then we'll do a real quick timed deal real fast. How are we doing to it? Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Questions? Sorry?
I have to leave early now, so
okay.
Sorry I can't do that.
That's okay. No, thank you. No problem.
Thank you so much.
I hope that helped. Well,
that's yeah, that's great. I'm actually going to a networking lunch right now.
Oh, excellent.
It's like a one-on-one thing. So.
Well, that's very good. Well, that's awesome. Well, I hope this helps. So.
That's great. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You guys got your questions? They're pretty good. All right. They're going to be for each other, and I'm about to explain all that. All right. I'm just trying to give people enough time to see where they are with their question. Raise your hand if you've got your question formulated that you would probably ask. Okay? We got one? Got two? Okay. All right, let's do this now. So we're close. What I need is I need two people that you don't, somebody preferably people who don't know each other, so you two can't be together in a group. That's why I'm saying that. I need two people over there. I need two people in that corner. I need two people in this corner. I need two people here. And if there's an extra person, I'm going to be your networking partner on this. Mm-hmm. All of our notes. That's all of our notes. Now, we're going to stand up because we're going to simulate a networking event. So I need two people standing right here. I need two people standing. I need two people standing right there. Two people.
One of the people they're standing at this table left their notes behind.
Okay, thank you. I need two people standing up in this corner. I need two people in the back corner standing up because we're at a networking event. Two. And you're the extra one? Okay. All right, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. You guys have 3 minutes to ask this person some question who you don't know, and then afterwards I'm going to ask you about that person. So we're going to find out your networking skills, how they work.